Hello, America. This is Mark Dunnigan, and you're back at the Daily Answer. In the book of Nehemiah, something that seemed impossible, the rebuilding of the walls around Jerusalem. And as you kind of look at a timeline, it looks like they had just basically been in ruins, boy, for like 90 years. I mean, Jerusalem was leveled by the Babylonians around 587, 586 BC. Nehemiah's time period is about 444. And at that point, they're still in ruins. And then Nehemiah shows up, comes to Jerusalem, is willing to take the risk, has basically put his money where his mouth is, and all of a sudden, and is honest about the situation of the walls, and it's a pretty daunting task, yeah. But in chapter 3, the people get involved. And in chapter 6, verse 15, so the wall was completed. And this is in the presence of opposition, you know, where there's a threat of a continual attack. And so they were not just allowed to work on the wall in peace. They had to carry their sword with them, and they worked on the wall. Says it was completed in 52 days, less than 2 months. What could not be fixed in almost 100 years was finished in less than 2 months, 52 days. What looked impossible and overwhelming was overcome in a very short period of time. Among other things, because Nehemiah says in chapter 4 and in verse 6, so we built the wall, and the whole wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. And may I suggest to you that the wall we're building here is not some like fence between neighbors. I mean, this is a wall. It's my understanding that as we have a progression on it, or as archaeologists have taken a look at the wall of Nehemiah's time, that it was probably 9 feet wide. Okay, and it's pretty tall too, to protect from attackers. And not only that, but chapter 3 is basically, not only did they have a mind to work, but they worked together. Then the secret sauce. And I find this in Nehemiah a couple of times, chapter 2 and in verse 8. And the king granted them to me because the good hand of my God was on me. 18, I told them how the hand of my God had been favorable to me. God has our back. God's providence. But the hand of God's not going to benefit me much, or you, if we don't act and move and respond like the hand of God is with us. If we don't believe it. You know, I thought of another circumstance that seemed impossible. That 12 apostles, many of them former fishermen, would be able to spread the message of the cross and establish churches throughout the Roman Empire in the face of hostile Jewish and pagan persecution. And that's happening even before the first century is even over. Like 30 years after Jesus was resurrected, there are basically congregations in just about every major city of the Roman Empire throughout the Roman world. And in some places, more than one congregation. Christianity is a very significant thing 30 years after Jesus is resurrected. It's a major player. Then how about this one? That such a movement halfway around the world could still be alive and take root in North America, right? And today be present all over the world. Yesterday or the other day, I talked to a Christian who takes regular preaching trips to China. And right now there are two members of the congregation where I regularly attend who are in the Philippines. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Or how about the fact that the true, authentic, original teachings of Jesus, the original system that you find in your New Testament, genuine New Testament Christianity, and the church that Jesus founded, Matthew 16:18. Guess what? That still exists. It exists here where I'm at in Florida. You can find it throughout the United States, and you can find it in many places in the world as well. It is truly an indestructible kingdom, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28. Those are all things I think from a human perspective seem pretty impossible. Well, how could the message of a crucified Savior, when in the first century, if he ended up crucified, that meant you were just like some major criminal, how could that message find such an audience? And that the people spreading that message were just a ragtag band of ordinary average people who had very little money and very little power and very little influence. The reason I was reminded of this is because recently I headed some 30 minutes south to a small private elementary high school, Florida College Academy, and they were having a fundraiser. They were serving flapjacks. And I don't know what it is, but the term flapjacks grabs my attention far more than the word pancakes. Because flapjacks, that reminds me of something cooked at a logging camp in the Northwest woods or a lodge in the High Sierras, cooked on a griddle, a flat top, with mountains of bacon, sausage, and spuds cooking nearby, and lots of hot, steaming coffee, served by waitresses whose hair would not clear some underpasses. When I arrived there at 8 a.m., the start of it, a good friend, a fellow Christian, was manning one of the grills, and one of the elders at the congregation where I attend was at the other one. A new man showed up at regular intervals throughout the morning, and every grill spot was covered from 8 to 12. And those were all volunteers on a Saturday morning. During this time, there was entertainment provided by multiple groups of young people. Students, teachers were helping the bus tables, and a fresh tablecloth, basically butcher paper, was put down after each family or kind of eating group was done, so that when you sat down at the table, there were no syrup spills that get your elbows or hands stuck in. You had a clean eating service. And then there was a silent auction that included trips to Antigua, the Panama Canal, and hunting trips to Africa and New Zealand. And I think they raised over $10,000 before noon. And this was all just put together by staff, regular people, and just a lot of volunteers. And it wasn't sponsored by any big players out there. And the advertising was not on billboards or the radio or television or things like that. It was just like, you got a little flyer. I just got a little flyer in my cubby at the congregation where I attended. Ooh, be careful about thinking something's too hard, daunting, or difficult. It's amazing what God's people can do when they have a mind to work together, and believe that God's hand is with them. Seems to me that many of the obstacles that get in our way are created in our own minds. How easy not even to try. Well, that won't work. Or that's going to be really hard. That's going to take a lot of effort. Or that's a lot of work. Or, well, I've been in a place and they tried that before, and right. Or, you know what, it's just going to be really difficult to get people to volunteer for that. Because, you know, these days, everyone just so busy. The flapjack fundraiser I was at, people are not too busy for that. And now a more important question, does God want you saved? Well, yeah, right? Does God want the people around you saved? Well, yeah. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, that's clear. Absolutely. John 3:16. So maybe before I even venture out to save people, convert others, I need to get it firm in my mind that Wait a minute. The creator of time, space, and the entire universe wants them saved. That means the good hand of God is with you if you've got the truth. And then with that understanding, my friend, go out and proceed. Yeah. You got a mind to work? Yeah. You're willing to work with other Christians. You're willing to work together. Yes. The project on your own that you're thinking of, maybe it's just like evangelism or teaching kids about God. Is God for things like that? Does God want the next generation to be brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Well, yeah. Okay. Then move forward, my friend. We'll see you in the funny papers. And do not forget to bring the flapjacks.